1 Peter chapter 5 as we continue our series in Peter. The end is in sight. You could say we're in the last chapter. So this is verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. I'd like to imagine the situation. One of the flock is in the wilderness, all alone, hasn't eaten for days on end. The sheep is hungry, slowly running out of energy. Soon, it will be too weak to walk. Before long, it will be too weak to move. Before long, it will be too weak to survive. Another of the flock was just minding its own business, eating a bit of grass here, a bit of grass there, totally unawares that a wolf was moving on its location. It wouldn't be many moments before it would be too late for that sheep. Another was in the valley, and this valley was full of huge rocks and boulders, casting deep, dark shadows all around. Hiding behind one of those rocks in a deep, dark shadow was a bandit, a thief, ready to pounce and take this sheep away. What do all these different sheep need? Different situations? Well, they all need the same thing. They all need, whether lack of food or danger of a predator, danger of a bandit, they all need a shepherd. So the first sheep needs a shepherd to lead it to new pastures, or maybe to carry it to new pastures. The second sheep, sheep, needs a shepherd to come and fight against the wolf. And the third also needs a shepherd who will defend it from the bandit. See, sheep, a flock without a shepherd, are vulnerable. There are many dangers out there. Without a shepherd, there is no one to feed, no one to lead, no one to protect. Now, it's interesting, if you look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and just those first four verses, that Peter, on numerous occasions, illustrates the role of an overseer or an elder within a church by relating it to a shepherd and a shepherd's care of the flock. And this morning, what we're going to do is unpack just one summary sentence. And the summary sentence that I've come up with is this: elders are to shepherd the flock like Jesus, and then will receive a crown. So firstly, elders are to shepherd the flock. We might not like to think that we are vulnerable. We might like to think that we are pretty secure. We might like to think that we're nothing like any one of those three sheep. And that's a dangerous place to be. Now, of course, the Bible tells us in several places some wonderful promises that we can cling hold of as believers. So the Lord Jesus, he said that he would build his church. That is something Jesus is doing right across the globe. Guaranteed. And he will continue to build his church until he returns. We also read in the Bible that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not height, not depth, not angels, nor demons. Nothing can separate us from God's love. We also read in the Bible that nothing can snatch us out of God's hands. So in one sense, we are secure, but then at the same time, in the New Testament, there are also many, many warnings. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. He met them at a place called Miletus. He knew he would never see them again. And he comes and he speaks these words to them. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Now, it's interesting in that verse, when Paul was speaking to the elders at Miletus, he doesn't say, look out, this might happen. He says, I know. This is definitely going to happen. There'll be those that come in like savage wolves. In fact, they're from their own number, who will be there trying to draw people away from the truth. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, speaking to the same church, says this, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So the church at Ephesus no longer loved Jesus like they should. What's the result? Jesus says, I'm going to come and remove the lampstand. In other words, this building's going to become a carpet shop. I'm shutting this place down because you do not love me. You need to repent. Otherwise, it will all be over. So we see when we read the New Testament, we have wonderful assurances, but also there are very real dangers, very real perils that can happen to the church of God. I hope this morning that you feel privileged to be part of a group of God's people here at Hope Church. Sure, we're not a perfect church. We have weak faith at times. Some people don't see eye to eye. Some people don't like the way that things are run. There are different aspects that people maybe aren't keen on. But we should be so, so privileged. We should carry a real privilege to be part of what God is doing. But we need to beware, because there are dangers lurking that could end this whole thing. We're vulnerable. And if you don't believe that, just after this service, take a walk around Ashton and just look at all the buildings that used to be churches that are now just used for a variety of different things. There's no longer a Christian witness there. Those churches are long gone. Maybe you think, well, whatever happens to the church, I'll be okay. I'll be all right. You know, I'll just keep going on my own, even if the church is nowhere to be seen. Well, I hear on numerous occasions, I speak to people and they say, I ask them about their church, or, you know, they say they're a Christian and they say, I used to go to church, but now I just don't really go anywhere anymore. Again, a dangerous place to be, vulnerable on your own. Now, God is not unaware of this. He's not unaware of the dangers that surround the church. And he has a strategy, a means of grace to help protect his church. Now, there is more than this means of grace, but this is one means of grace that God has to protect his church. And we see it in 1 Peter chapter 5 and these first four verses. And God's means of grace is a shepherd for the people. It's elders or overseers or bishops, whatever title you want to use. It doesn't really matter. The function is the thing that matters that we see from these verses. Peter writes, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. You see that in verse 2. So there is to be a group of people, elders, bishops, overseers, whatever you want to call them, who are to be shepherds of God's people. This is God's provision for the church, because the church is vulnerable. What is an elder to do? Well, an elder is to shepherd the people. What does that mean? Well, that word is full of meaning from the Old Testament and also the New Testament. I've looked up multiple passages in the Bible and come up with a summary of the main thing that shepherding involves. Three main things that shepherding involves. And this is all part of point one. So don't think when these three are done, we're done. There's still 2 points to go. So the first thing the shepherd, we see biblically, does is feed the sheep. This is obvious. So one major responsibility for a shepherd is to feed the sheep. And if you just think about the 23rd Psalm here, you'll think about some of the things that David records about the shepherd God and how he deals with David. So this is obvious. Sheep require food and water to remain healthy. And the point Peter is making is really, really clear. Elders, bishops, overseers, whatever you want to call them, are to give nourishment to God's flock that are under their care. That means ensuring that the flock receive a regular diet from God's word. That is so important. Why is it important? Because each and every day we are taking on information, we are feeding on knowledge, and the Bible says that faith comes from hearing the word. So receiving a regular diet of God's word is crucial for our growth and health as believers. We must never forget that. That is how we grow faith in the Bible. In the Old Testament, criticism was leveled at some of the elders of God's people because instead of feeding the sheep, they were looking after the sheep simply so they could look after themselves. In other words, they were looking after their own interests and not the sheep's interests. Now, what does that look like? Well, if you are looking after your own interests, you want an easy life, don't you? Which means you'll just do anything for an easy life, which means you are probably not going to say anything that causes anyone any offence or upset. So just think about this. This is a classic scenario on Father's Day. Mealtime. Now, sometimes at mealtimes, maybe this is just my children, but children don't always want to eat their food, especially the good stuff. And when I say good, that's defined by being healthy, not by being tasty, because all the good stuff isn't actually healthy, is it? But anyway, children don't always want to eat Brussels sprouts, or broccoli, or carrots, or salad. What they want to eat is chocolate biscuits. In fact, just chocolate. Let's forget about the biscuit content. Just simply chocolate. But parents persevere. Why do they persevere when sometimes children are bored of eating? They just don't want to eat. They just want to eat something different. They persevere. Why? Because a regular diet of healthy food means they will grow and develop physically. In the same way, elders are to nourish those under their care, not just with stuff that the flock wants to eat that they think is tasty, but feeding the whole of the Bible, even parts that perhaps are sometimes would seem boring or unpopular, maybe a self-fulfilling prophecy this morning. So what is it that elders are to do? They are to feed the Word of God in its entirety, because that is how God speaks to us by His Spirit. There is a very real danger that we will just go to things, look to other things for assurance and worth, and maybe just cherry pick parts of the Bible that we like. But an elder is not seeking to serve himself, but the flock of God, which means the whole of the counsel of God. So they're to feed the sheep. Elders are also to lead the sheep. And we'll see this in our second main point. They're also to lead the sheep. The work of a shepherd is to, and we see this in the Old Testament, is to lead sheep from one pasture to another pasture. Moses, described as the shepherd of God's people, led God's people out of Egypt, out of slavery, right to the borders of the promised land. So elders are to lead the flock, again into the scripture, but also to set direction and vision for the church. Derek Prime writes these words: every team has a captain or equivalent. Although each member is equally important, someone has to lead. Without a captain, a team loses direction and discipline. Without a leader, a conductor of an orchestra forfeits coordination and harmony. So it is with God's people. The 3 years our Lord Jesus Christ was with his disciples, he was their leader. As soon as he ascended to heaven, Peter became the obvious leader of the apostles. And he and his fellow apostles then appointed leaders in all the churches they planted. The apostle Paul made it plain to Titus that things were not in order in a church without proper leadership being established. Without good leadership, chaos so easily follow. See, without a leader leading, no one knows where anyone's going, and it becomes chaos. So a leader, elders, bishop, overseer, whatever you want to call them, are to feed, but they're also to give direction and lead. A shepherd is also to protect the sheep. So again, we see this clearly in the life of David. David and the whole of Israel have a small problem. It's actually a big problem called Goliath. And David goes to speak to King Saul. As he speaks to King Saul, King Saul's not really convinced with his battle strategy, sending a young boy out to defeat a highly trained warrior. But David tells him of the times when a sheep was taken by a bear or a wolf or a lion. And he describes how he used to fight against that animal to rescue that sheep. Now, the picture is really clear. And again, we've already seen the words from that Paul said to the church at Ephesus when he met the elders in Miletus. A church leader and elders are to protect the church from savage wolves who will distort the truth. And those savage wolves may come from within inside the church. So elders are to put a stop to false teaching. They're not to allow it to take root and spread within a church, because it will spread like gangrene. Now, it's interesting that Paul does not say that this false teaching will be a whole new belief system. That's easy to spot, isn't it, if it's a whole new belief system. But Paul actually says that it is a distortion of the truth. Now, it's easy to spot error when it's big and bold. It's a bit more tricky when it's covered in truth. You know, someone said the best lies are 97% truth. And that's the same with false teaching. The false teaching which is most destructive is the false teaching that nobody spots. Because it's just a distortion of the truth. It's not too obvious. There is much false teaching out there. It can be so subtle, and elders are to protect against that. Now notice, with the feeding, the leading, and also with the protecting, the priority for the elders is the Word of God. That's kind of what ties all those things together. So therefore, elders, overseers, whatever you want to call them, leaders, they should be people of the book. That's why in Acts 6, there is a dispute within the church. They appoint some deacons, and the apostles, who at that point are the church leaders, say that they will give themselves to prayer and ministry of the word. Why? So they can feed, so they can lead, and so they can protect. So that's point one. Elders are to shepherd the flock. Point two, like Jesus. Like Jesus. There are many challenging one-liners for church leaders and elders and bishops and overseers that we would all do well to heed. You cannot lead what you don't live. You cannot give away what you don't have. What you are shouts so loudly in my ears that I can't hear what you say. Now, they're just three one-liners that I find immensely challenging. Elders can know all the right Bible truth, but that amounts to nothing unless they lead in a Christ-like way. I'd just like to zoom in on some of these verses at this point. I'd like you to just look down with me at verse 1, because what we see here in these verses is quite interesting, how Peter, in how he speaks to the elders, is modelling what eldership looks like. So just look with me at the first verse. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. In that verse, do you not just see how Peter is behaving in exactly the way, same way, that he wants the elders to behave? He's not demanding. He's not lording it over these people he's speaking to. Interesting that he says he's a witness of Christ's sufferings, which is one of the prerequisites for being an apostle. To be an apostle, you have to have seen the Lord Jesus and his sufferings, and also perform miracles. We see that in other parts of the Bible. And that's Peter. He's an apostle. He could come in and just say, as an apostle, I command you elders to behave like this. But he doesn't. He models what leadership looks like in the way he speaks to the other leaders. So as an elder among you, I appeal. So he's just saying, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. You know, I'm alongside you here, brothers, in this. A witness of Christ's sufferings and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. So he's not lording over them. He's coming alongside and pointing them to the Lord Jesus. Now, why do you think Peter is behaving like that? Where do you think he's seen that modelled? If you've read the end of John's Gospel, you will remember an account where Jesus comes to Peter, and Peter has denied the Lord Jesus three times. And the Lord Jesus comes to Peter and he asks him a question. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And on three occasions, Peter replies, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then what does Jesus say after each one of those exchange of words? The Lord Jesus says to Peter, comes alongside him, if you like, an arm around him almost, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. That's what he says. And you almost can just tell the concern in Jesus' voice as he comes alongside Peter and just encourages him to show the same love for the flock of Christ like Jesus shows for it. Just notice as we go through into verses 2 and 3, this is exactly how elders, overseers, are to lead and feed and protect the flock. It says in verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Now, there are three negatives there and three positives. So negative, not reluctantly, positive, but willingly. Negative, not greedy for money, positive, but eager to serve. Negative, not lording it over, positive, but being examples. If eldership is something to do with duty, something I must do, it's just not going to work. It's got to be something I want to do. I just desire to see the church of Christ built up. And so I gladly serve in this way. Eldership is not some get-rich-quick scheme. You know, give me money and I can have my Learjet or whatever else. No. This is a job that the motivation can't be money. Eldership is not to have your own little empire where you can boss people around. The motivation isn't authority. Now, ironically, elders have duties that need to be fulfilled. Elders, some get paid for their position, and elders are in a position of authority. But none of those things must be the motivating factor. The motive should simply be because they love Jesus. And if that's the case, being an elder is not a duty, but a delight. Since Jesus is the example, let me ask you this question. Do you think if Jesus' motivation was duty, that he would have gone to the cross? No chance. There is no chance the Lord Jesus would have gone to the cross out of duty. If Jesus' motivation was money, there is no way you would go to a cross and be crucified for money. If it was merely some power, again, it just would not happen. Jesus' motivation is to please his Father and to love, show love to the church of Christ. And that is how elders are to serve. Sadly, so often we see in church leadership just a love of money. We see that mainly magnified by TV evangelists and the like. Sadly, we see elders who just love to push other people around and wouldn't do the thing themselves. We see elders who just do the bare minimum, what they can get away with. But the Lord Jesus, through Peter, says that's not how things should be. It should be a delight. It should be in the same pattern that Jesus set. Third point, and then we'll have some quick application. Elders are to shepherd the flock like Jesus, and then will receive a crown. So if we're talking motives, the motivation should be the coming return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the sheep do not belong to the elders. So just imagine, just for a moment, somebody moves into a new house and they decide they don't like the wallpaper, so they tear it off the walls and put new wallpaper up. They also decide that they don't like the window, so they rip them out and get some new ones put in. They decide that they don't like the garden, so they get it tarmacked and make a car park out of it. They decide that they don't like loads of things in this house and they just bash it about and get it how they want it. Is that okay? It is okay if they are the owner and not a tenant. If they're a tenant, that's serious stuff. You're going to be in big trouble. Now, if you're an owner, that's fine, you know, under the laws of the land, etc. Now, with that in mind, notice verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears. See, elders, overseers, bishops, whatever you want to call them, are to shepherd the flock like Jesus. Why? Because they're not their sheep. They're just under shepherds under the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And he's going to want to know how the elders have cared for the flock. This flock, they are his blood-bought children. The Lord Jesus cares so much for them. And if the under-shepherds are found to be lazy, not feeding the sheep, or to be distracted, just trying to line their own pockets, or to be just building their own empire and pushing people around, I think the chief shepherd's going to want to know about that. Well, he will know about that. He's not going to be pleased about that. But instead of that, elders are to serve in such a way so it will be a delight when the chief shepherd returns. Because the chief shepherd will just see the care that these elders have given to this flock. And it will be a joy when the Lord Jesus returns and they will receive a crown of glory which will never fade but endure forever and ever and ever. Now, we must conclude. Now, I appreciate that this morning the majority of people in this room are not elders, overseers, etc. And you might think, well, that kind of was a bit of a waste of 25, 30 minutes because it had nothing to do with me. But here's where you're wrong. Because of what Peter writes in the very first verse. Peter, in the very first verse, says, to the elders among you. In other words, Peter knows other people are reading this, and he wants those other people that are reading this to hear this. He could quite easily, Peter, have just written another letter, and he may well have done to the elders that we don't even have a copy of. But he wanted the church to hear what he was writing to the elders. Now the question is why? Well, the reason why is because then, as the Church of God, you can know how elders, overseers, bishops are supposed to be behaving and what they're responsible for. Which means if it's not happening, you can call them to account. Secondly, if you know what they're responsible for, you can pray intelligently that they would lead in that specific way. Another reason is if you see somebody that you think would be fulfilling those words, you can come to a leader and say, I think that person would make a great church leader, be part of things in leading the flock here. We would love the whole church to be involved and giving their suggestions in things like that as well. We must conclude. There are many, many dangers that the church faces. Many. Dangers from within. The possibility of people distorting the truth and leading people astray. There are dangers within our own hearts. The subtle attraction of sin, resulting in us just being led astray, resulting in disaster for the church. And of course, This whole section that Peter is writing comes off the back of the fact that there is fiery trials in life. Just go back with me into chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, "If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner?" What Peter's saying there is, being righteous leads to fiery, fiery trials. So there are trials of people distorting the truth. There are trials of our own hearts being led away to sin. And there are just the general trials of life that will seek to cause us to think, do you know what? God isn't good. God can't be trusted. And I do not want to serve him. And to all those things, one of the means of grace that God has established is elders or bishops or overseers, whatever you want to call them, people who will seek to guard and protect the flock. So when the great chief shepherd returns, there will be joy at his appearing. Let's bow our heads and let's pray over some of the things that we've been thinking about this morning, and then we'll sing together our final song. Father God, we just thank you that your word is so helpful, so straightforward. It gives us great clear direction on what a church needs in place for its own protection and good. And Father, we just pray that this church, Hope Church, will be a church that is well protected, well fed, and well led. And as a result, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be well pleased. Lord, we know this is going to take supernatural grace, but we ask that you would give it to us in abundance. And our prayer is in Jesus' name. Amen.